Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. So how are you doing in your job of being a Christian? How are you handling it? Does everybody know? Is everybody going to know there's a Christian? When Kathy and I moved in 32 years ago, it was 100 degrees. Our sister-in-law, Grace, said, from Michigan to Minnesota, you're moving from the refrigerator to the freezer. And there it was, 100 degrees on that first weekend in July. The kids wanted their toys. We didn't even know where anything was. We started unpacking our boxes. There was a dog. We had the back door open as we're moving stuff back and forth. Some dog came right in the house and right down the basement and then back out again, pre-leash days. We did, for some reason, I hooked up the hose to the back, and our son, Daniel, thought that it would be a good idea to maybe water the basement a little bit. And so he turned the hose on onto the rug that was down in the basement under the kitchen. And with 100 degrees and the kids looking for their toys when we didn't know where their underwear was, it took only the first weekend for people to find out that I was human. If someone was going to judge Christianity by how nice and pleasant and polite and calm and gentle I was that day, well, I blew it right then. And I still remember I blew it right then. I don't think about it very often. But if to be Christian means that we are always on top of the game, always nice and polite and gentle, we know some people who are like that. We know some people who just don't seem to get riled, seem to take it all as it comes and work with it the best that they can, and never seem to fly off. Well, I'm not among those. And I would imagine some of you are not among those either. There are days when we don't feel well, days when we feel like someone else is going at us, days when life doesn't seem to be going as smoothly as we think it ought to. If to be Christian is either to be nice or to be in charge all the time and have everything all set, we all recognize there are times when we are not. And it's precisely those times where people who do know that we are Christian are watching us. I thought you were a Christian, and you talk like that, you think like that. Almost as if the people who are not Christian are waiting to see if we fail in any way so they can pull us down to size, and in the process say, I guess you and your Jesus don't make any difference, do they? If being Christian, if being holy, if being what God wants us to be means we have to be on top of our game all the time, well, I would imagine every one of us have our summer of 82 moment that we can think about, and usually a lot more than that. If to be at peace with God depends upon us, we're in trouble. The writer, as we read this in 1 John, says in the early part of it, there are some people who left your group, your crowd, your congregation. They left because they said, you guys aren't holy enough. You aren't perfect enough. You aren't on top of your game enough, and we don't want to be around you anymore. And so here is this Johannine Christian congregation struggling. Are we really Christian or not? Are they right or are we right? And it says in 1 John that people can begin to differentiate between one way and another, but who knows which way is the right way and which way is not? We don't know what the future holds. And if we are to be judged, even though we try very hard to be honorable, good people, even if in spite of that, we do things that are offensive because we've done something wrong, or we do things that are offensive because someone just plain doesn't like us and our way of thinking and wants to pull us down to size, if we are judged for our eternity on the basis of that, we are in a hopeless position. We don't know what the future holds about what we're going to be like. And the epistle says, we don't know what's going to appear, but we do know that we are children of God. That might be not important to some. Yeah, everybody's child of God. God loves everybody, right? So why do we need to listen any more than that? To be children of God means that God looks us in the face and he says, I did what was necessary to wash away everything wrong in you so that you can be perfect and holy in my presence forever. You are holy because I declare you holy, because the Holy Spirit, the perfect Spirit, the Spirit of the Triune God has made us holy. And using an analogy from Revelation that sounds like it can't possibly be right, our righteousnesses are made righteous, our robes are made white in the blood of the Lamb. Blood doesn't stain here, it takes away the stains. It makes us look before God like the kind of people that he made when he made Adam and Eve, even though we don't act that way. And what it means is if we do love other people, our love for them cannot simply be on the level of being nice and polite and trying to do the best we can. It needs to be on the level of our tongues saying we are holy because Christ has made us holy. For those who do not want to be holy, who do not believe that they are sinners, those words might fall on deaf ears. But for those who are troubled in their own hearts, even though they're trying their best, those words can be the source of the delivery of life. You're holy, and it doesn't depend on you. You're holy, and it means that you now get to go out and live your life loving people Jesus died for. And as I've often said, I cannot control what someone else does with that. But I can say in my heart, Lord, help me each day to love the people you died for and help me remember that you needed to die for them and me. So if something goes wrong, that I am not automatically so offended that I slam the door shut on a relationship and go on in my arrogance and my pride. That's what others may do to us. They may want to find fault with us because they want to find fault with our Jesus and our God and our salvation. Because on this earth, none of us gets through without the struggles and the disappointments and the foolishness and all the rest of it. And we may not look any different than anyone else because we're declared saints before God himself, who gives us the benefits of our Lord's dying and rising and then declares us worthy of life everlasting. How do we respond to that? Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. We respond with worshiping. We want to hear that story again because that story is a good story. It's one that nobody else tells us. Not with that depth. Holy, perfect, clothed in Christ, at peace forever and ever. And so we may get kind of a little confused, wondering what's the future ahead for us after we fall asleep for the last time. But we are promised we will be with the Creator of the heaven and the earth. We will see Him face to face. We talked about this in the Living with God class this past Thursday. The Lord bless you and keep you. Bless you means to put a covering over you, His protective umbrella covering. The Lord keep you safe so that nothing comes in from the side to pull you away from Him. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. People don't get to go into the presence of the mighty, walking up just like they're another human being. They come in deference. They come bowed down. In the ancient world, they could be put to death if they came too close. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you. Look you in the eye. Love you. And give you a kind of a peace that lasts forever. That's the peace we get to bring to others. Not a peace manufactured by us, not a peace that we live up to all the time, but a peace that is already there and already ours for all eternity. Amen.